does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy happy.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to The Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here by my side, my partner in crime, rocking a tank top because it is hot as hell, H-E double hockey sticks, which we may actually talk more about later, the actual place, not the the weather, but it's Nate Korzynski. Nate, how are you?
I'm good, man. I'm in my glory. The summer is here. It's hot. A lot of people hate it, but I live for this shit.
Who are these people
that hate it? Oh yeah. Man, Joey, my stepson, for example,
he would rather
be winter all year. He loves the cold and the snow.
That is some fucked up shit. I mean, kid, you know, no more teachers, no more books. You know, you're outside, you run around.
Yeah, right.
A kid's dream is summertime, summer vacation, man.
I agree, but I feel like a lot of this generation don't do as much running around outside. If I'm to go by Joey, he likes to play video games and sit on his iPad, and he can do that in the AC. So
this is true. Yeah, yeah. He should live in Arizona.
I know.
That's where he should live. He'd be in AC heaven, you know? Yeah.
Dude, but, I know. Yeah. But another, just quickly while we're discussing how I'm doing,
sure.
I need to mention this. I've been eating hot dogs with curry paste on them instead of ketchup or mustard or anything.
Okay, you're fancy.
Yeah, so, no, it's not fancy. It's just, it's changed my life. I don't know, I was so tired of hot dogs, tired of ketchup and mustard, and I've been doing relish for a while. That's kind of, I don't know, but, dude, curry paste, Indian curry paste specifically, not Thai. But
just so you know. Your household is like the world upside down. The kid hates summer. You cannot rock with the hot dog standards anymore. Now, did you find this online, or was this of your own creation?
Necessity is the mother of invention. I had nothing, and the things I had to put on them, I was so tired of that I just said, you know, let's just throw whatever at it. Hope it sticks.
Imagine if you had only marshmallow fluff in your cupboard.
Well, I need a topping for my wiener. What am I going to use? Marshmallow fluff.
You could start your own OnlyFans channel with something like that.
I'm sure. I mentioned, I believe, on another episode when we were talking about jail and prison, how in there people will combine a lot of weird foods.
I had
a roommate who would make like a peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwich.
Yeah.
We'd use like peanut butter and squeezed cheese, things like that. And you'd be surprised. Some of them aren't as bad as you would think, But when you're out on the street, when you have more options, who would do that? You know, it's just you make do when you're in there.
Of course. Yes. Even though I got to speak for all the listeners out there, I think when you just brought up prison, talking about sticking the wiener in the fluff, we were thinking something else than creative recipes in cell block C. You know what I mean?
People eat a whole other kind of hot dog in there.
You got that right. Yes, indeedy. So, okay, that's great. Curry paste on hot dogs.
Yeah,
I'm about to go on my summer vacation.
All right,
I'm going away for a week to the beach.
That's cool.
Awesome beach bod I got.
Yep, get some sun on it.
Can't wait to just oil up my saggy meat.
Yes,
and just lay it out there on the particles of sand, which will hit crevices they should never see. They survive millions of years. The elements, everything else, is get stuck in my crack.
Yeah.
Oh, the indignity of sand.
I don't know. It sounds good to me still. Like I said, that sounds great. I love the beach, man.
It's one of those things. We're New Englanders, or at least I used to be. So being close to the ocean is like a birthright. So going to the ocean to me is like, well, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but my family
loves it. Yeah, it's not something I need anymore, you know?
Right.
If that makes any sense. I mean, sure. I like the ocean just fine. I don't like swimming in the ocean.
Yeah, salty and
critters.
Cold up here. Up here, it's cold. Down the, you know, even in the summer, it can be pretty cold up in New England, the beach. But I know down there in Texas or in Myrtle Beach, where I go every year, that ocean water is pretty nice. I can just walk right in, which I'm not used to. We go up to like New Hampshire to Hampton Beach up here, represent everyone. New Englanders represent. But my feet, your feet actually ache. Like your ankles will get sore as you walk in. It's, you get so cold. It's a weird phenomenon. It's this kind of aching in your bones from the cold.
It's not even the temperature. There's just the, like, this weird shit in there. I don't like going into any, anything. I mean, imagine it's like that show. What was that show? I think Joe Rogan hosted it or something.
Fear Factor.
Fear Factor. It, to me, the ocean is just the fear factor. I remember last year when we were on vacation, my kid wanted to go in the water. We went in and I'm like up to my kneecaps, like, woo woo. Okay. We having fun. Waves are slapping against our balls. It hurts really bad. But then I saw this, fish swim by and it had all these, embellishments. And like ruffled fins. And I was like, nope, get the fuck out of here. I don't know what that thing is. It's probably poisonous. It's going to bite me.
Yeah. The
size of my fucking hand probably do no damage to me whatsoever. But still, I was like, no way. I don't know what's in here. I don't want any part of it. Forget about it. I'd rather swim with someone else's urine.
Yeah. Well, you're in the fish's urine when you're in there.
That too. But I'd rather swim in human pee-pee in the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's way better of an alternative for me.
I'll tell you, man, I live on a lake and I love it. Like, it's still at this time of year. It's the beginning of June when we're recording this and I am still just kind of getting in the lake for the year. It's been pretty cold, but my point is I'm in it. I love it. And again, Joey's pretty good about swimming in it, but a lot of people, especially like people, I keep saying this coming up generation. I am totally the old man grumpy dude. Yeah.
Get off my lawn. Get out of my lake.
No, get in the lake. The problem is they don't want to go in the lake. They're like, there might be things swimming around in it or whatever. You know, it's, I understand you can see the dirtiness of a lake a little more even than an ocean. Like the ocean still looks kind of, I don't know, I want to say clean compared to a lake, you know, it's,
yeah, sure.
Lakes are a little brown. You look at the water. It's, you know, but
yeah, well, Nate, can I explain something to you real quick here?
Sure.
This is what's going on, right? Our generation, and I'm going to be the old fogey, funny duddy right now too.
Okay.
When we were children, it wasn't as commonplace for people to have pools like it is now. I mean, if someone in your neighborhood had a pool, you're like, ooh la la, this fucking Richie Rich over here, fucking Scrooge McDuck with that pool. So, you know, we would just go to the old watering hole and jump in. Woo, this is the only water we got, and we're going to stay cool and, you know, go down to the public beach or whatever.
Right.
Same thing with, we were talking about the AC. When I was a kid, we had one AC in my house, and my mother had to hang a fucking quilt to keep the cold in the living room to the point where we'd all sleep in there and everything else because we just didn't have AC throughout the entire house.
Right.
So now, I mean, come on. We got it all, man. This is it. We've hit the pinnacle of our existence where everything's affordable and cheap to a point. You know, I mean, not saying everybody has pools now, but I mean, as far as staying cool, staying entertained, things of that nature. So, you know, that's why they look at the lake and they go, that's dirty.
That's true.
I'm set. I'm good. You know what I mean? We don't need none of that shit.
Yeah. Well,
I get it.
You furthered my point. They're spoiled. These youngsters are fucking spoiled.
Well, but, I'm spoiled too.
Yeah,
My birthday's coming up, right? It's going to be this week.
Right.
And confession time, everybody. Welcome to the booth. I am going to be 43 years old. Now, I have a 9-year-old. So he's 8. He's going to be 9. And there are many activities that he wants to partake in that I have simply outgrown. And these are some of the same things that we're talking about now, like camping, right?
Right.
He wants to go camping. And I said, well, what the fuck? I can go rent a hotel room. I can go rent a cabin. I don't want to go set up a tent and sleep on some rocks. I did that. I've done that. I paid my dues. It's over. It's not fun for me anymore.
Yeah.
Jumping in the ocean, going to a lake. I'm like, I can go to a fucking, yet again, a nice little resort. And they have a lovely pool. And they serve me drinks, right? I'm swimming. They come to me with a Mai Tai or fruity cocktail.
Sure, man.
So why should I have to rough it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You're like, I pay money so I don't have to sleep on the ground somewhere.
Yes. There's a reason why I do not live in a yurt, okay? Yeah. There is a reason for this. And, you know, it was all fun when I was a kid. I had good memories and everything. But now I think his memories are going to be just as fine as mine were without, you know, worrying that there's a fucking snake slithering under you while you're catching some Z's. Or a bear might eat you while you're pooping in a hole behind a mighty oak. Right?
It's funny you mentioned camping, Dave, because
yeah,
we are planning a trip down to Tennessee in the fall. Well, we've already planned it. It's already happening. And it's to this dog show. Well, I'll get into that probably a little later. But this, we have a Doberman, and we've been showing her. And we are now going to the national competitions, you know, which sounds like a big deal. Like, whoa, you guys made it to the nationals. Anybody can sign up. It's not.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I was thinking like nose turned up. Good day, sir.
No, I mean, it is a little snooty, I suppose, dog shows, any of these shows, but I just mean, it's not like we achieved getting to national status. Like, you know, we made it through regionals and this and that. It's just, it's the National Doberman Club. So anyone can go down there and show at this event. It's like a week
worth of shows. You can find your membership card in a Cracker Jack box, right?
Yeah, sure, man. You don't even need to buy Cracker Jacks. Just go online and sign up.
Even better.
It's cheaper than Cracker Jack box. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. Because actually, that's not true. The money it costs to do a lot of this is considerable. I'll say that. But
yeah,
my point of all this is we're going down there and we're staying for about a week, a little more than a week. You would think, you know, stay at a nice hotel in Tennessee, especially hot Tennessee. It's, you know, warmer than it is in New England. But no, we're camping and we're not tent camping. I'm not going to go that far, but Carly wanted to just go in our pop-up trailer thing, a pop-up camper. And I was like, you know what? I'd rather stay. They have the option of staying like a little cabin. So we're actually going to stay in a cabin, but it's still pretty rough. I don't know. I think they have like a fridge in there, which is it's not exactly, you know, roughing it. It's glamping a little bit, but anyway, it's camping for a week. I'm like, why don't we just stay in a damn hotel, man?
Yeah, like it's, when you say cabin too, it's a tough thing to gauge.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like, yeah, is it nice? Like, I'm thinking like maybe a ski resort cabin or something.
No.
Or is it like, freaking Jason Voorhees?
It's closer to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But when that kind of entered my mind the moment you said, well, it's got a fridge.
Yeah. I think it's like a mini fridge. I don't know if they come with like microwaves. That would be going pretty far. I don't think we're that lucky, but there's nothing keeping us from bringing one. I think there's power is my point.
Okay.
So
was this a Doberman's request to stay in these accommodations? Was this the dog's idea or?
Yeah, she's spoiled too. She's the new generation. She can't stand tonight. She has to go without AC. She's,
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, you did mention these competitions can be a little bit expensive. There's a little cost cutting there by going out and roughing it, I suppose, because
that is true.
If this is a national competition, I'm sure that area will be swarmed with fellow dog enthusiasts.
That's right.
Waiting to see their pet pooches perform their best.
Right. It's just like Best in Show, the movie by Christopher Guest, if anyone's familiar. But like that movie is not exaggerating too much. It's funny, but it's, I don't know, the truth is not that far off from fiction in this case. But you're right about it being cheaper, man. The cabins are like a fraction of what it would be to stay in a hotel. And it would have been even cheaper if we just brought the camper too, just, you know, obviously.
Fucking go to the Motel 6, man. You know what I mean? Or something, just whatever you do, do not invest in a blacklight. That's it, you know? Because that is like a hooker haven.
Yeah, man. But it also has to do with what places will accept dogs. And you would think that a dog would be for a dog show that a lot of these places would be like, well, sure, come on in, you know, bring your dogs. But a lot of those hotels don't allow it. So the combination of all of these factors made it. So, you know, we're staying in a fucking cabin for a week. But
see, this goes to show you, you could be a fucking lot lizard. Rent a room with one hand, you get a jar of freaking fluff, and the other hand full of hot dogs, and they say, no problem. Now, you're bound to make a mess, right? But the moment you get a dog, oh, no. They're going to fucking piss everywhere, which is probably true anyway.
That's probably true, man.
Like, when you say dog show to me, the first thing that comes to my mind is shit. I'm like, imagine all that dog shit everywhere. Oh, my God.
But these dogs are the snooty, pampered dogs that are pretty good about it. Like, a lot of them are, if you walk your dog to take a shit, you pick it up when you are. And these people all kind of abide by that code. There's that unspoken Doberman code. You know how it is. You know
yeah. what I'm talking about. Well, then my neighbors must have been banned from the National Dog Society a long time ago because those freaking cocksuckers. Oh, my God.
It's a shit
pile. Oh, they're the worst. The woods dropping bombs left and right. And you know, and the funny thing is you yell at them. You go, hey, curb your pet, motherfucker. And they look at you like you're the asshole.
Yeah.
They're like, well, what the fuck? You know, the dog's going to shit. I'm like, yeah, fucking grab a plastic bag, you jerk.
Right? Yeah.
Fucking walk to my car. I'm jumping over freaking the Jurassic Park turds here. That your dog is left behind. And that's what I mean. Pet owners sometimes, man, I know you do the right thing.
Sure.
But some of them really peeve me off.
Dude, I'll tell you one thing. We used to do horse shows, which we have a few horses and Carly liked to show them. Dude, it's so much nicer doing dog shows though, because with a horse, it's like you have to get a trailer for the thing and you know, travel with this giant beast that could just break free when you open the door and cause, you know, death and destruction. Plus, you have to make sure it's all kind of wrapped up. You'd wrap up its legs with these kind of fleece wrappings and all this stuff to transport it so it didn't cut up its legs before the show. And you gotta all of that was just a lot to deal with every time we had a show. And that was expensive.
But horse gets its own trailer. This fall, the Maine has gone insane. Only in theaters. The horse.
Yeah, I think that I meant a different trailer, but...
I know you did. I'm just a jerk.
Yeah,
but I'm a big fat jerk face. That's what I do.
The reason I brought up the horses is because it was a lot of shit at those shows. It's just piles of horse shit everywhere and... Yeah,
horses—they don't even have like muscle control with that, right? Just flump.
I don't. I
that's my
know.
Sound effect. Just blop.
Plop.
I think
they're purposely doing it to be assholes myself. But
yeah.
But dude, I will say about Callie is my Doberman, and Callie is learning to use these methods of communication with us. We got her these buttons that you can stick them to the floor with this adhesive. And you record a little message or whatever. And so you can record anything. You hit a little button and record and on the side. And then when you touch the big top button, it's like playing a game show. You know, it's like the big button. It says whatever you've recorded. So we slowly taught Callie to use, she's got three of them. One of them says outside. So she hits that one whenever she wants to take a shit in the yard, really, or go bark at whatever runs by. She's, you know, but the point is it's handy. She can tell us when she wants to go out. Then she's got the pay attention to me button, which is definitely, you know, she hits that one probably most because she, anytime we do anything else, she's kind of spoiled. And she, I'm telling you, this generation, but then the third one is, I'm hungry and it's over by our food. And that one, we kind of created a monster with that. You know, as you can imagine, it's just like, you know, cause we don't like to feed her too much. We want to starve her. You know, we're cruel dog owners. So she hits it, often. And,
well, I didn't want to jump all over your story here because I tend to do that. And I apologize in advance and for the past, but there was a viral video. Have you seen this where the woman had, the buttons for her dog and there were, swears?
Oh, man.
And it's like, oh, hey, dog, how you feeling? It's like, you are an asshole. It's something like that. And, of course, it gets a billion clicks, likes, you know, people are pounding that share button like a lot lizard in a Motel 6. Sure. And I'm like, okay, well, I don't believe it. I that was just whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's staged. The dog's not really communicating via buttons. I mean, listen, how simple is that really? And how have we not thought of that before? I mean... In 2021, you would think we'd have some kind of like neuro link to the dog where it wears a headpiece, maybe like Doc Brown in 55, a big metal thing on his head, and it can talk to you that way or something. Not like, oh, I got this easy button from Staples.
Yeah.
And it just fucking clicks this when it's hungry. Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But well, it works, huh?
It works. And I will say this, because Joey made that same comment. It's like, she's not talking, though. She's just hitting this button, and you do what it says. But if you think about it, that's what words are, too. We know if I say this word, you're going to understand that I mean this. Mm. And that's how I'm using it. So the buttons are a very simple form of it, but it's still, even though she doesn't know what the word is that it says outside, she doesn't know what the word outside means in English, but she knows that when she hits that button, she goes out the door. And now she does. When I say the word outside, she'll look over at the door or run over the door. Like she knows the words. She may not know English,
yeah,
but she knows
Pavlovian. These.
Yeah. But that's what words are anyway. That's what language is. It's a way to convey what we mean. So in a way it is. Yeah. She's not Coco the gorilla doing sign language, but she's learning that how to communicate with us in a different way. So it's kind of cool.
Is there a horny button?
Not yet. She's only horny like a couple times a year. She's in heat a couple times a year. So, you know,
okay. Yeah.
She shows us in other ways.
If I had one of those, it fucking, you'd have to be replacing the batteries like every 15 minutes.
Then you have a lot of
horny
batteries.
Horny. Yeah, exactly. If that's the case, I might as well buy something that requires batteries to fulfill my needs.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to be using batteries anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Or I'll just freaking rig up some I don't know, tinfoil to the batteries directly to my nips.
Mm, dude,
not saying I'm into that kind of thing. Wow. So don't you know, just assume that. It's not implied just because I said it, okay? Just,
not at all, Dave.
Yeah, all right, good.
You're safe.
Want to make sure this is clear.
Yeah.
By the way, do you have the phone number to the burn ward? Because I might have some problems here with some singed hair around my areolas.
Some crispy nips.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, not me. A friend of mine, George Glass. That's right. He's got crispy nips. So, still Tennessee. I've been to Tennessee. Nice That's people. Good. Friendly people. So, you'll have a good old dog show down there. I hope your Doberman wins all the awards, whatever they may be.
Yeah.
The bronze, the silver, the gold.
All of it. Yeah.
And she can bring home the prize of the biggest button of all.
That's right.
Eat my ass, I'm a champion button.
Yeah.
She'll push that one ad nauseum as well. You know, and that's the interesting thing is how activities, hobbies, things that people do to entertain themselves. Now, you are someone that I never would have figured, despite being an animal lover, would immerse yourself into a competitive way of exhibiting your pets. But this is your girlfriend's passion. Right?
Exactly.
This is what she loves to do. And hence, by association, it's something that you've absorbed.
Right.
And I hope you also enjoy.
I do, but it's kind of, you're right. It's kind of like my girlfriend's a vegetarian, so I guess I'm a vegetarian too. You know, it's kind of like that.
You eat hot dogs.
She's into dog shows. I'm into dog shows too. Yeah, I eat hot dogs. You're right. So
yeah.
And she's not a vegetarian. She's not. I'm just saying it's like that. It's an example.
Fucking you know, lies.
We are what our girlfriends are.
In many ways, yes, just like they say, the pet resembles the owner, or is it the other way around? The owner resembles the pet. I don't know, but still, yes, your significant others imprint on you.
Right.
So there you are. Now,
but you
I
were talking about hobbies. I'm
yes.
sorry.
Yes, and I have recently picked up a new hobby, which is something I don't know, man. It's a weird thing because much like your scenario was something I never thought I'd be into, but lately I've taken up making natural and homemade soaps.
Ooh, soap. Which is
soap, yes.
Wow.
It makes you clean. Yeah, you? Soap. And it's all because I tried some natural soaps and I got really into them.
Mm.
And, you know, as things tend to go, you start looking online and, oh, I could do this. Yeah. Oh, look at that. That's pretty fancy schmancy. Let me try that too. And then before you know it, you spend an arm and a leg. You fuck a bunch of shit up, but hey, you're hooked. They got you, man.
Right.
And so I've been doing that. I'm going to do that, later today. I'm going to be making some more soaps. And, right now would be a good time to mention.
Yeah.
Because I never do this ever, 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 ever. I always forget that we on the Selling Out show have social media. On Instagram, Twitter, at Selling Out Show, and on Facebook, at Selling Out Show 1. So make sure you go follow those. But I also have an Instagram account for my soap.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
So everybody out there, go follow at Schultz Soap, which is my last name, S-C-H-U-L-T-Z, Soap. And I had to spell that because everybody either spells it or pronounces it wrong.
Yeah.
But my God, man, this is, you know, here's the thing about the soap making deal, the whole kit and caboodle.
The soap maker's world.
Yeah.
Isn't that a Clutch song called The Soap Makers?
Soap Make is a great song.
Yeah.
We are the soap makers. And we'll keep turning, churning. And everyone was each one and each one was all. But, yeah, so go listen to that after you're done listening to our show here. Mm. Is that cooks, right? Cooks get creative. They make things and it's wonderful. But usually, not all the time, there are some healthy options. Overindulging, it can make you fat. Right? Yeah. Soap, you can get creative and put designs and different scents and all kinds of things into them. And they're still way better than the stuff you buy mass market or these big brands that have like carcinogens and evil things in them. Yet, they will never, I don't recommend eating them, make you gain weight. Instead, they will make your skin feel soft and your beard, like in my case, feel lavish. There's some nice moss growing on my face now because I've been using these natural soaps. I fucking smell good. I look good. Probably fucking taste good. I don't know. I haven't licked myself in a in a fortnight. Yeah. So you know, it's been one of those things where I've already experienced a collecting world, right? I've been collecting comics since I was a little kid, and it can be expensive, but I've kind of toned it down a little bit. But now I've replaced it with my new addiction, and it's been quite costly. But I will say this. I do plan on selling some of my soap, probably the end of June.
Excellent.
So everybody who loves me, likes me, and just wants to, I don't know, hoist me up on their shoulders. Oh, yeah. Okay. That too. Get some nice soap. But yeah. I was thinking like a Rudy moment.
Yeah.
Like you finally made something worth caring about. Yay. And I'm like, woo, and whatever. So yeah. Well, check out at Schultz Soap. And I don't want to take up more time on the podcast talking about soap because if you're not interested in it, you're going to hate me. And I don't want that. I want to be loved.
But we're interested in you. We're interested in you. We love you. We want to know what is going on in your life. And yeah, if you got a product, man, I don't know. I trust you. I trust you. This isn't, how you say, contrived at all. I'm just, you know, as a co-host. I just mean as a friend, I know you. I know I can, if you say it's good soap, cause you're picky about things like that, man. You're picky.
Yes.
So if, you know, I think your word is worth something. So end of June, I'm definitely going to have to order some from you, man.
I'm glad you just said that because with all that confidence in me and my craftsmanship, the price just skyrocketed to $100 a bar.
Excellent. I got to be a shareholder before it gets out of control. Is this public?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say IPO, like it's a beer. Yeah. No, it's whatever they do IPO. In the ringing the bell in Wall Street. I'm going to sell shares in Schultz Soap. You can buy a bit of my Instagram account. But no, it's a lovely hobby. And you meet some nice people and there's some very interesting. And here's the thing, too, is it such a crowded space?
Yeah.
I always liken it when people ask me about it to true crime podcasts. I'm like, there's one popping up every minute. There's people making soap here, selling soap there. It's a lot of competition.
Right.
So don't think you're going to be, oh, look at me. I made some soap. I'm going to get fucking rich. Dr. Squatch can kiss my grits, which they happen to be like the biggest brand but of natural soaps. But no, it's just a nice, relaxing thing to do. And I've always been a creative human being. I've drawn. We've been in bands together.
Sure.
So this is an extension.
Podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Wait, we do?
Yep.
Holy moly.
Yep.
Holy, this is news to me. But yeah, so it's, what I was trying to say, it's just more of that side of my personality.
Right, man. It's another creative thing you do. It's another way for you to show your skills. And at the same time, you know, there's that feeling of creating that always feels good whenever you create something. So I still play music. I show my Dober dog. Does that count? Is that like,
no,
I guess
but
it's
you,
a hobby.
Here's the thing.
It's not
what
artistic.
I'm doing. You can't do because you can't rub your music on your balls and make them sparkly. You can't just like use your Doberman as a loofah. Well, maybe
debatable.
You could.
Yeah.
But my products, you can do all that. You can do whatever you want with it. Really, it's So take that, man.
Right on. Soap, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep, soap indeed. So, Nate, what else do we have on the docket to talk about today? I remember I just brought up True Crime.
Right.
I can't even pronounce True Crime Podcast, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. On the night of November 15th, Jessica went missing. I'm not big into it. I know people love, like, Dateline and stuff like that, but you've been watching some of this real gritty, real-life stuff?
I have. I mean, I have for a while. I mean, to an extent, I feel like you can't get away from it. There's always Forensic Files and all those things have been around forever. But
yeah,
I've been getting more into true crime podcasts and watching a lot of interrogations of famous crimes, you know, famous criminals on online, like murderers, for example, like, you know, say you could watch the interrogation of Jeffrey Dahmer or somebody like that. You know, you can find a lot of these things online, which is interesting. But I've noticed that I have a different reaction than I think the intended reaction is for putting these things out. I mean, I don't know if there is an intended reaction per se, but when I watch these videos, I don't know. It must just be my history of having dealt with police, like having a shady past, you know, that.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I watch these videos, I can't help but like, looking at the cops as almost the adversary and like putting myself, in the place of the person being interrogated because I've been interrogated and I know, you know, not for things that big. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the ploys, everything they do. It's like, speaking of those documentaries and stuff, I remember Making a Murderer was huge on Netflix.
Right.
And so many people were like, oh, this guy's getting fucking boned by the police, man. They're leading him down a path because he's not very intelligent. And they're forcing him to say things that are going to incriminate him that he shouldn't be saying.
Right.
And I think that's what you're trying to say here, right? These guys are up to no good.
Well, there is that. I mean, that's definitely a factor. And there are shady things cops do. And yes, that pisses me off more than anything and probably gets me on the defensive even watching those things. And I've been around them. I know that they lie to you and they're just basically in an interrogation. They always tell the person, look, if you talk to us, it makes it so much easier for you. It's going to make it so much easier in the long run. And it's like, no, it's going to make it easier for the cop. Like the person's arrested. They're not going anywhere, you know, like, or they're being questioned. It's like, they're not going to help their cases. The best thing you can do in that position for anyone is to ask for a lawyer immediately. You don't have to answer any of their questions. You can just say, I want a lawyer and they have to stop talking to you. They have to stop the interrogation. Or that's sometimes they'll keep trying to get information out of you, but the point is you can't get in trouble for not answering and saying, I want a lawyer present.
Yeah. Get in trouble for saying nothing.
Right. And actually they can get in trouble for keeping questioning you or using things you said after, like if you ask for a lawyer and they don't give you one, they can get in trouble for that after you've asked. But my point is I watch these things and I end up just like thinking of, wow, if that guy had just said this as an answer to the cop instead of that, they could have, you know, and it's like, they could have what? You know, they could have still been out there killing people or they could still be like, it's not a good thing. I understand that, but I can't help it. I watch these things and I'm always like, if a cop slips up, I'm always like, ha ha, you know, like it's fucked up, man. I know it sounds bad and I know
it does,
but
it really does. Yeah.
But you know what? I can't help it. And I don't know, cops. I will say, like, I try not to have prejudice in my life. I try to correct things. I'm not trying to be PC here, but I've never been racist. I don't, you know, I'm not homophobic, xenophobic, whatever. I try not to hold beliefs that, you know, are too prejudicial like that. But cops is always, they're always a group that I've always been. To this day, I just, when someone says a cop, like mentions a cop, I'm automatically like, ah, fucker. You know, I can't help it. It is what it is, man. I'm a law abiding citizen.
Now,
but I wasn't in the past. And I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a lot of anti-hero role models growing up. Cause I had a prejudice against the cops before I even got in trouble with cops, really. I don't know what it is, but
you were listening to NWA.
That's probably it.
But Nate, can I just get some clarification on this, please?
Sure.
Let me ask you. So hypothetically,
yeah,
you're watching online or on TV an interrogation of like a cannibal.
Right.
Some guy who's probably consumed human beings, has them in vats in his basement.
For example, whatever. Yeah.
He's kidnapped, assaulted, killed, and eaten these people. Yeah. And so you're watching this. He's starting to say something. And like the annoying woman at the movie theater who's like, don't open that door. You're like, don't fucking say that. Oh,
that's just, your ass, Mr. Cannibal.
Said that. Yeah, exactly. That's your ass. There you go. You're going up the fucking river now, motherfucking dummy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's you.
Yeah.
When you're watching this stuff.
Pretty much. I can't defend it. I just can only observe it. I'm talking about it. It's kind of, I find it amusing, but at the same time, I just can't help it. You know?
And if you had had your way or your input heard by this person, they would still be out there consuming human flesh as their hobby.
Right.
Because, you know, they weren't into dog shows or making soap. They just like to eat your liver.
Right. They may have been into dog shows, making soap, and eating liver, to be clear, but you never know.
Yeah. Multitasking.
Yes.
Yeah.
People are multifaceted.
Multifaceted murderers tonight on whatever crime show. Yeah. Criminals.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm an expert at naming television programs now.
Criminals.
Yeah, just fucking, it's like Girls Gone Wild or something. Criminals. We get it all. 1995, you can see all these interrogations with Nate butting in like Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yes.
Yeah, you just sit in, oh, shouldn't have said that. Oh, no.
I'd watch that.
That guy just coughed up a finger on the fucking table. Oh, no.
So. That's your ass.
That's your ass. That's your ass, cannibal.
Oh, man. But yeah, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Oh, you bastard.
I will say, you know, I acknowledge that it's not the healthiest of behaviors, but I just thought it was funny. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody out there can relate. But I doubt it.
It's who you is, man. Yeah. You know, that's what's going on. And to kind of expand on that even further, coming up next, we're going to do a little Nate's Notes piece by you. Because after all, your name is Nate and it's called Nate's Notes. So I guess it only makes sense. But first, I'm going to talk kind about these awesome podcast partners that we have. But when we come back, Nate, you're going to freaking spit it, brother. This is the point of the program where I like to thank our partners. Yes, indeedy, Lemon Squeezy. These are great products and companies, and you should be checking them out. Now, we make it even easier because we get some coupon codes. That's right. Hashtag deals. Deals. It's like stealing, Nate. It really is. It's like running out of the store with free shit.
Wow. Call the cops.
Call the popo. First up, we have alpinehemp.com. The CBD revolution has arrived. Now, you could be suffering from a wide range of ailments, or maybe you need some better sleep, or just some better techniques to relax. Well, guess what? CBD is there to help. And Alpine Hemp has great prices on these products. So don't wait. Visit alpinehemp.com. We also have northlandvapor.com. Vape juice, baby. I love to vape. I am a former smoker, and I say former because vaping changed my life. It made me feel better, healthier, and Northland Vapor helped me get there. All of their e-liquids are diketone and artificial sweetener free. You may be asking yourself, Dave, why the hell is that important? Because guess what? Big Tobacco ain't telling you what's in their products, but Northland, they care. Now, both of these sites, you can visit them and use coupon code SELLINGOUT19 to save 19% off your entire order. Hence what I was saying earlier about running out of the store with that big old discount. Now, last but not least, we have Spunk Lube. Oh, Nate, the Spunk Lube. Mm. We talk about it every episode, but what else is there to say? Really?
You can't go for the ride if you can't get inside.
Yes.
I think we came up with a new catchphrase for them, man.
There you go. Put that on a t-shirt, baby.
All right.
Put that on a shirt. They should do that immediately and send you a royalty check. But yeah, Spunk Lube, it's used by professionals in the adult film industry, and now you can have it delivered discreetly to your home. Check them out at spunklube.com today, and you can thank me later. Now, what do you say we hop into some Nate's Notes?
Oh, I was listening to a song by the band Ghost one day, and my girlfriend Carly had an observation. She mentioned that she likes their music, but wishes the subject matter wasn't all about Satan and anti-Christian messaging. It's not that it offended her. She and I are both atheists. She couldn't care less if a band insults Christianity. In fact, Carly pointed out, it's the fact that she's not keen on Christianity that makes her less thrilled about Ghost's kitschy retro-satanic motif. If religion is silly and listening to Christian rock is lame, then why is singing about the devil, a Christian character, still cool? Now, you can say that the devil is more than just a Christian character. Most religions have some supreme evil bad guy, lord of the underworld or whatever. But the devil, as typically referenced in modern music, is certainly the anti-Christ. Just look at the upside-down crosses and pentagrams proudly adorning any self-respecting black metal band's album covers. There aren't a ton of bands singing about Pluto or Hades. I'm sure they exist, but they're kind of the exception. So yeah, why do I find this one aspect of Christianity less, I don't know, embarrassing than the rest? Well, I suppose it's a combination of things. Firstly, that kind of imagery is just aesthetically cool to some of us. If you're the type who already wears a lot of black, who enjoys horror movies and the like, you're halfway there already. Flames and demons and pitchforks or whatever are compelling, creepy visuals to a certain kind of person. To be honest, when I got into the whole Scandinavian black metal scene, it was the creepy videos and band photos that first drew me in. Again, I don't feel compelled to start worshipping Satan, whatever that actually looks like. I think that's just as silly as going to Bible study. Both seem like equal wastes of time and energy. But damn it, when I first discovered black metal bands like Emperor and Gorgoroth, there was a visceral reaction. Something in me got a little excited. It still somehow felt naughty, even though I don't subscribe to the belief system. Another potentially appealing factor associated with Satanism in music is the classic trope of the rebel. The name Satan originally just meant the adversary. It kind of represents that angsty urge to buck the system, to challenge norms and conventions. As a teenager, I remember shoplifting a copy of The Devil's Notebook by Anton LaVey, founder of the Church of Satan. It was kind of a collection of essays meant to further some points he touched upon in his previous work, The Satanic Bible. I couldn't find The Satanic Bible at this particular Boston bookstore, or I probably would have grabbed that. But as it turns out, The Devil's Notebook was a pretty quick and easy read, as opposed to its much wordier predecessor, which I have since read, especially to a kid in his early teens who wears a lot of black. In fact, I recently thumbed through that old stolen book, and I could barely get through even the first page. It sounds like an angry teenager wrote it. LaVey's Satanism is more of a philosophy than a religion. It's kind of libertarian, actually, all about self-reliance and individuality. But it comes across as petty in retrospect. It preaches revenge over forgiveness. And it uses the concept of Satan as more of a shock tactic than anything. LaVey's Church of Satan has almost nothing to do with Christianity, other than specifically rebelling against it as an institution. It all seems a bit childish and campy in retrospect. As a young person, in the mid-90s, however, it seemed much more profound. We were in the tail end of the satanic panic, when bands were accused of back-masking subliminal messages on their records. Judas Priest and Ozzy Osbourne had been taken to court over these ridiculous accusations that if you played their records backwards on a turntable, You could almost make out a sentence that sounded somehow sinister, all warped and distorted. Of course, those court cases fell apart, but there were other crazy cases like the West Memphis Three in Arkansas, where basically three kids got pinned with murder charges because they wore black band t-shirts and had long hair. I mean, that's a slight oversimplification, but check out the Paradise Lost documentary films for a frustrating, deeper look into that debacle. Anyway, my point is that at the time, you could barely watch the news without some mention of suspected satanic ritual abuse or evidence of occult activity, which often added up to a couple pentagrams and a 666 spray painted on a rock in the woods. It was a time when that sort of thing struck a nerve in society. And while it took some years before I realized completely that I didn't believe in God, the appearance of LaVey's writings and the lyrics of industrial bands like My Life with the Thrillkill Cult, the Electric Hellfire Club, and even Nine Inch Nails helped me to start to at least question the hold that the churches had on everyone's sensibilities. And so, while I ultimately realized that all of it, God and the devil, are almost childishly simplistic explanations for the chaos and beauty of earthly existence, I must say, only one side of that coin urged me to think for myself, to actually look objectively at things and make my own mind up. The rebellious left-hand path. So I have to at least sort of respect that. And while, of course, there are great messages and lessons to be had from Christianity proper, from any religion, really, I just can't bring myself to listen to Christian music. I guess I just tend to listen to the devil on my shoulder more than the little angel.
Get the gun. Get the gun.
Shoot, shoot, shoot.
Shoot, shoot, shoot. Ozzy. Ozzy Osbourne is the devil. Mm. Yeah, man. You know, you get a point there. You got more than just one. You get a whole bunch of them. Two of which are growing out of your forehead right now. But, no, I mean, just like this deep-rooted psychological, it's all embedded in you.
Right.
How certain something is evil.
Yeah, man.
Imagery and whatever. And then, in essence, you know, it's really just anything that's wrong or should be wrong is satanic. That's the devil making you do his deeds, right?
Right. Well, that's the point of view. That seems to be the pervasive scapegoat that, you know, Christian culture. I mean, you're down in the South. You have a lot of religion around you. You know, you're in Texas. And I don't know. I guess to me, it seems like a lot of the world is, or our country anyway, is kind of moving away from that. I also live in Massachusetts and I know how huge down South the Christian voting bloc is and evangelical. Kism or whatever you call it in event, the envelope. Yeah.
The envelope.
Yeah. The envelope.
The envelope of good. I'll tell you one thing right now, something I think that needs to be done immediately. And I don't care what you believe in or what you worship or any of that stuff, but the separation of religion in politics fucking go. Christianity, right, in determining what laws are made and what rights you do and do not have, has to fucking go.
Yeah.
And we say separation of church and state, and that's the biggest bullshit fucking lie that we keep telling ourselves. No. Yeah. No. It's like this whole right-wing thing, okay, is, yeah, oh, we've gotta keep our faith in God. God bless America. God do this. God do that. Yeah, God's only service to you is when you think you're doing the right thing to benefit yourself, and then you fucking throw God behind it to make other people rationalize it and agree with you.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's just utter fucking nonsense. So I think that's fucking, I'm getting hot. Can you tell?
Oh, I'm getting it's because we're burning. We're burning up.
We're burning.
We're being tortured by God right now.
We're burning up, you know? Baby. But no, seriously, like, no, it's just, it's one of those things wherein I don't know, man. Like you said, I'm in the South, and yeah, it's just so many churches. It's insane. Yeah. And, I see the other side of the coin. Things that I don't believe in, and I'm really linking politics with religion here, obviously.
It's because they're pretty
where I live
nowadays, yeah.
And, it's just too much for a sensible human being to handle.
Yeah, dude. I was saying one day that if you're a politician and you are legislating because of you're considering like the opinion of God, or you know what I mean? Like you're trying to avoid God's wrath or some of the, like I've heard that kind of rhetoric on the right. Mm. You're doing your job wrong, basically. Yes. Like if that's how you're legislating, that's not what it's supposed to be, man. Even the term "In God We Trust" being like our national motto or whatever, that seems to go against that, because I know it doesn't specifically say, you know, in Jesus we trust. So that's kind of like their defense. They're like, well, it's not Christianity, it's in God. But it's like, but not everyone is religious. Like I said, I'm an atheist. Like there's a lot of people that don't trust in God. So, and we are citizens too. So if you can't, I don't want my motto to be "In God We Trust." Like that's, it doesn't represent all of us. And you can't, you just pick one, something about freedom or something as a national motto. You know what I mean? Like it has to then involve God. Like, well, what does that have to do with our country?
One of the issues is it has nothing to do with God whatsoever. It has to do with the people that, keep pushing it are the most corrupt fucking sons of bitches on the face of the earth.
Oh, absolutely.
Or the nuttiest, looniest fucking people ever. But yet again, it's a shield.
Yeah.
It's a defense. Yeah. It's like, well, okay, I just fucking pocketed fucking $3 million in my campaign coffer from Pfizer. Or I took money from this lobbyist and that lobbyist, and they're fucking making me make these laws. I have no control over them. I'm in their pocket. But you know what? I am down with God, you see, because down here, this is what God would want. Yeah. This is only the pure right thing to do. And you're like, but the crazy thing is people believe it. And like I said, it's just, you just name God, start spouting off about God, and everybody's like, oh, this guy, he's all right. It's like, the whole Trump thing. And we brought it up on this very show before when they asked him to cite his favorite, verse from the Bible, and he fucking couldn't get out of his own way, stumbling over his own two feet, going, no, it's private. That's private. That's my whole personal. Yeah. You're like, no, you just don't know it. You don't know the book, but you like holding up the book for photo ops. You like doing this and that because you know it appeals to a certain amount of people, and they will think the moment that they see that photo of you, that you are aligned with their same belief system.
Exactly.
This is a terrible fucking thing, man. And
dude, it's awful. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's your piece. You can talk further.
No,
because
dude,
I'm not an atheist per se. I don't like to label myself as anything. I just try to fucking live day by day here.
Right.
But even if I see someone dressed up like death metal style and they're all fucking, yet again, dressed in black, I don't go, oh, that Satanist piece of shit.
No, man.
That's what's destroying the fabric of life, of good working families, hard working people. No, I just think, that fucking kid, he's going through a phase.
I will say this. Most of the people that are claiming to be Satanists or, you know, whatever it is, they're not like nobody. If you believe in that sort of thing, you're not siding with the side of evil and shit. Like usually it's you're claiming to be a Satanist. Like I said, like a LaVey thing. It's a shock. You know, it's a reaction to Christianity. You don't really believe I'm worshiping this devil, you know, spirit thing. Like for the most part, I will say, like in modern Satanists, I think a lot of them are just trying to yank the chain of Christians by doing that. Like I think if you ask them, they're more akin to an atheist than an actual Satanist. But I almost included it in my piece, but I'll just briefly touch upon it. There are some that, of course, do the more like, you know, how you say, esoteric, occult sort of Satanists, like that do take it seriously. And a lot of those Scandinavian black metal bands, of course, we've touched upon on other episodes, like burned churches down, and even some of them committed murders. And there was this one band called Dissection. And they kind of were a pre-black metal band. They kind of inspired the sound that became black metal, including the Satanist imagery and all this. But the singer, he laughed at LaVey Satanism because he said, that's just atheism. Like I just said, basically. But he was like, I believe in this real, you know, grim, he'd read this grimoire, this book. He belonged to a group called the Misanthropic Luciferian Order, the MLO. And they were, you know, real worshipers. They did rituals, all this sort of stuff. But he went to jail for a murder. And in, I guess he was an accessory to murder, which I don't, again, it's one of the things I don't support him for that, because the person he killed, I don't think he killed him out of a, it might have been satanic in nature, the ritual killing of, if it were, but he targeted like a gay man from Algeria, which is obviously just shitbag, scumbag. You know, it's not like he murdered somebody in self-defense or something. He targeted, you know, a minority figure. So that he's a piece of shit. But the weird thing, the reason I bring him up is because he ended up, after he got out of jail for that, he started the band back up and, you know, released whatever, another album or two. But then he killed himself in this weird sort of ritualistic fashion in 06. He was sitting in like a pentagram with candles around him and had this book in front of him. But he left some kind of note or some writings that said, you know, you don't commit suicide from sadness or depression. That's weak. Again, it's this weak, strong self imagery okay. in Satanism. But, he's like, you do it. Like death should be the orgasm of life, like the climax. And so you do it at the peak of this and that. But it was all this, like he killed himself and like committed some kind of a murder as a, you know, a result okay. of his beliefs. So I will say that. Something like that is more mental illness than like, you know,
yeah,
I mean, no, yes.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you, because if I was in the mall and I saw like some dude who looked straight up Satanist, he's got like fucking goats on his shirt and whatever. And I just assume he's, when he goes home, he's like, Ma, got any pizza rolls?
Right, right.
I want to play some Nintendo Switch. I'll do my homework later. You know what I mean? It's like, yes. That show Silicon Valley. I don't know if you ever saw it.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Okay. They had that character. I think his name was Guilfoy. Yeah, and they went to a satanic baptism, and when they're showing it, it looks all fucking gruesome and shit, like, yeah, naked people and masks. But then once it's finished, it's like, okay, well, if you need to validate your parking, come yes. over here, and then we're going to go for a nice little buffet across the street and have some chicken. And it's almost like you would see or you'd assume would happen with a church group, a normal yes. a bunch of blue-haired grannies who like to fucking knit or whatever. So exactly. that's kind of like my assumption of what it really would be like. Not, yeah, I've killed. I'm going to kill myself. This is the pinnacle of my existence. Open the vortex. Orgasm.
Right.
You know, and yeah. like you said, that's few and far between compared to probably just getting a rise out of society, which we all did. We all wanted to do. That's why I said earlier, it's almost like a phase, yeah. you know, whatever. It's like when I was a kid, I dyed my hair pink or something. Right. It's like, I want people to notice me. I want to be different. I want to be unique.
Exactly.
I am not the fucking piece of the mold of everybody else. Moom, 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 working around 9 to 5. Of course, that's what you become. So
right.
you can talk about the days you had pink hair and how cool and individual you were and how much it really didn't matter. But I digress. So, yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to keep yes. saying that over and over again. For some reason, when it comes to this kind of stuff, I keep doing that, like,
kind of, what, kind of hedging? Kind of like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Not like I don't have an opinion on it. It's just, no, I feel like maybe I over opinionate to the point where I think I'm rambling on this whole subject, because I'm one of those people now where I don't think anything's right or wrong, because I see the evil in things that are supposed to be good. I see the corruption in so many, you know,
right.
principles and ideas and everything else that are sold to you, especially in your youth, that are going to be these pure and wonderful things that will help guide you and shape you into a good human being. It was right. all bullshit. So,
yeah,
you know, hey.
But that's why,
hey.
That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. It's about like the simplistic nature of those concepts of good and evil, God and the devil. It's like, I thought had evolved to the point where we can kind of see that everything is shades of gray. And like, you know, that's why I don't believe in a objective set of moralities, like good and evil. That person is just evil, or this person is just good. And maybe that ties into my watching of those fucking interrogations that I mentioned earlier, but I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that I support those people, those criminals that I watch. I'm just saying, you know, there are some cases where it's like somebody commits some kind of a crime, but again, it's one day of their life they did that, or one period of their life. Like, there are people that completely change while they're in prison. It's like, you can't just write a person off. And that's why a lot of these prison systems in other countries, they don't lock people up for the rest of their life. You commit murder, you might go away for 15 years, but then you get out. And the whole time you're in there, they're trying to fix you. They're trying to make you better. So when you come out again, they don't just write you off and pay for you to be holed up in this place all your life. And
yeah.
And that seems weird to us as Americans, because our system is very, for being such an advanced society, our prison system is very draconian and like old testament, you know, like punishment and this and that. It's not about correction. It's about punishment. And I don't know. I mean, yes, some people need to be locked away because they're not safe to be out. Like, people aren't safe with them out, but I understand that. But for the most part, you know, you can't just, we have this habit of just writing people off as evil because they did something. And again, blaming on the devil or this or that. And I don't know. I just, but to bring it back to my piece, I still think the imagery of a fucking pentagram is kind of neat. And like,
and I think it's kind of spooky. I think it's kind of creepy, you know? And yeah. What I want right now is, you're talking about, what was his name? The singer who killed himself, the evil?
Oh, I didn't mention, actually. His name is John Nodvight.
Okay, Nodvight. Yeah. I want the director's cut of this murder-suicide and your narration over it, the Snyder cut, if you will, and you can comment on what he should and shouldn't have done during this whole process. But
sure.
And now I also want to loop back to your piece real quick here, because I thought it was very interesting that you stole a book about Satanism. Yeah. I mean, that's on brand.
Yeah, man.
But then too, you wouldn't name the store that you stole it from.
I could.
You said, oh, it's a Boston, or was it, did you say Boston or New England?
Yes, books? Boston. Yeah.
Okay, Boston. So I think most people know what place it was already. I don't even know if they're still in business.
No, it was a little one. It was kind of a little store. It wasn't like Borders or one of the, you know, it was like a, I'll be honest, I think the statute of limitations is up, so I think I can name it. It was like the Trinity Bookstore or something like that. But
I thought you were going to say Noobs, the Newberry Comics.
Nope. This was like an actual book. It wasn't like, you know, Newberry Comics has some books, but they're more like, this was like in the philosophy section with books on Hinduism and, you know, all that.
Well, I was big into
reading all that shit. Oh, yeah, man. Don't disregard
me. Yeah. Like, when I was stealing books, man, I was fucking going top shelf.
I didn't fuck around.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, geez Louise. Holy macaroni. Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for you, buddy. Stealing Anton LaVey book.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happens. I wonder if we could find out like a statistic on the most stolen books. I'm sure his name and as the author is probably up there.
Probably.
You know? Like with the Anarchist Cookbook or something.
Or Steal This Book by Hoffman. Wasn't that Abby Hoffman?
You could have been.
Steal This Book.
Yeah, it could have been, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it's, you know, implied in the title, why the hell not?
Yeah.
You know, go for it. So, you know, it's intriguing stuff. I mean, I think if you were to, like, go out in the street with a microphone and just kind of, like, poll people on how they feel about imagery and the devil and religion and everything, you're just going to get a complete fucking potpourri of different answers. I think a lot of people just be like, oh, I don't care. But yet again, you're going to get the certain folks who are really hardcore on the, oh, if I saw someone dressed up like that, like they were the fucking bassist of Slayer, they're evil. They should be fucking put away. They're going to commit a crime. Like, if they walked into Baskin Robbins, I'm walking right the fuck out. You can keep your 31 flavors. Because you got fucking one of Satan's soldiers walking in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you got people like us.
Yeah.
Who just talk about it on the internet.
Right.
So, yeah. All right, Nate. Well, wonderful piece.
Thank you.
Per huge.
Thanks, bud.
Per the huge. But I think we got to hit the road because I am in a month-long beard trim, I like to call it. You know what that is?
No.
That's when you, because, you know, I'm a beard guy. I wish you went back to the beard. You always rocked a good beard. I don't know why you got rid of it. Trying to be all clean cut and shit. But it's when you trim your beard, but then throughout like the course of a month, every day you wake up or you just took a shower and you see like that one rogue hair.
Yes.
So you go snip. But then the next day there's a new one. You're like, what the fuck? I thought these were all even Steven. What's going on here? Snip. And it just keeps going. So I've been doing that like every day now for roughly 30 days. So come my vacation, when I get those photos, I'm going to say, look at that. Look at that fucking, that man mane. Look at it right there. That thing's fucking round. That thing's symmetric.
Spend a lot of time keeping that thing up.
You know? Yeah, I spend more time than if I, yeah, that's the thing. I always say, you know, if I didn't shave, because I shave my head. So I got, you know, smooth as a baby's behind. And then I trim my beard. It's a lot more work than if I chose a different style. So for everybody who thinks I'm some kind of lazy schmuck who's taking the easy way out, fuck you. You're wrong. Right. You're an idiot. So there. But yeah, so enough about that. I always like to end the show with a bang. That was that was a complete banger right there. It was like, I could have lived the rest of my life without knowing that you're doing that every fucking day.
Well, are you saying, you said we got to get going because I've been doing this beard trim. Does that mean you have to go do some more of it? Is that what you're
saying? I might, because I'm going to walk by the mirror right now and I'm sure as hell going to find, find, you know, that rogue whisker.
Nice.
You know, winding in the wrong direction. It's going to irritate me until I, take care of it. So yes. So Nate, do you have anything you'd like to tell the people of the world who took the time out of their day to listen to our humble little program?
Nope. Just stay away from the devil.
Okay.
Keep him out of your life and keep him out of your kids' life.
Please. Please.
Think of all the children.
Save them. Save them all. Oh, you know what? Before I go, that you just reminded me of something I want to talk about real quick. So hold on, people. I know you're about to hit stop. Don't do that. The other day, my kids in virtual school, and they had story time, and it was a story about the security guard in a school during a shooting.
Jesus.
And I was it was about a lockdown, and I was very disturbed by this. These are the kind of stories we tell kids now, because it has to educate them on what to do should that situation arise. Now that we're going post-COVID, we're probably going to see more of these tragic events happen. To the point where they've actually made storybooks about them for young kids.
Wow, man.
Yeah. All right. Isn't that something?
That is something.
I meant to bring that up earlier, too, but I don't know. You know me, my last minute.
Yeah, bringing everyone down last minute.
Yeah, sorry, people.
And with a bang. Get it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Don Rickles. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's terrible. It's terrible stuff. So,
yeah. Well,
I didn't know. And someone had to write it. Someone made money off of it. And some school had to adopt it and say, this is what we want as part of our curriculum.
That's grim.
So, dark. Well, I mean, Little Red Riding Hood was kind of grim too, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's probably, you know, it's relatable, unfortunately. I guess I read there were 10 mass shootings this past weekend, when we were recording this, but in the country, which is crazy. But anyway, yeah, that's a whole other thing.
It's a new campaign. It's a mask off, blast off.
Yeah.
That's what they're... No, I'm fucking Don Rickles. Roast me.
Yeah.
I'm roasting. But what I was trying to say before that fucking crept into my head is I wanted to give virtual hugs, like, legitimately, seriously, to all
good
the
segue,
fine folks.
Dave.
Yes, thank you. I'm a pro. I'm really good at this, I swear. Yeah. To all the people who've taken the time to listen to the show, I do thank you and I do love you. And me and Nate are total peace, pacifist, hippy-dippy sons of bitches. So
of course.
We joke, we jest, but in the end, we only want the best. So, I am Dave, that is Nate, and this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace. So cunning.